The past often provides a roadmap to the future. This is the case with Rhode Island political predictions. Every election cycle, one candidate or another becomes the lock. The overwhelming favorite to become the next senator or governor or congressional representative. What we're here to tell you as the new year dawns and election cycle speculation accelerates is to beware the pollsters, pundits, political science professors, and the politicians. And don't put stock in predictions from Democrats, Republicans, or moderates. Rhode Island's long and florid political history tells us that our state's voters are adept at confounding the early predictions. And the favored politicians all too frequently play along by running desultory campaigns that doom them. What is remarkable about Rhode Island politics is how often the can't-lose candidates, the front-runners 18 to 24 months away from an election, have gone down to ignominious defeats. So let's run the reel back a few years. This front-runner syndrome has been played out in U.S. Senate and congressional elections, but has been most pronounced in campaigns for governor. At the beginning of the 1972 cycle, it appeared that Republican John Chafee, the former governor, was headed to a U.S. Senate victory over Democratic incumbent Claiborne Pell. One respected poll had Chafee up by 20 or more points. When the votes were counted that November, Pell, buoyed by growing opposition to the Vietnam War, handily defeated Chafee. When John Pastore's Senate seat opened up in 1976, everybody who's anybody in politics figured the U.S. Senate matchup would be between then-Governor Phil Noel, a Democrat, and Chafee, who was making another run for the seat. Noel lost the primary to Richard Lorber, a wealthy, little-known car dealer who spent a fortune, and Lorber lost to Chafee. Flip the remote to 1980. At the beginning of this campaign, Providence Mayor Buddy Cianci, then a Republican, had a shot to become the next governor. He was clobbered by Democratic Governor Joe Garrahy, the genial master of the outstretched hand and the high how are ya. In 1984, all the experts pegged Warwick Democratic Mayor Joe Walsh as the next governor. Walsh, who had the Democratic Party endorsement, never got out of a caustic primary against General Treasurer Anthony Solomon, who lost to Republican Ed DePreet, the Cranston mayor. By 1990, the chattering classes and the pundits anointed Providence Democratic Mayor Joe Paolino as the odds-on governorship choice. Paolino had the party endorsement, but he never made it out of the primary, losing to businessman Bruce Sundland, who crushed DePreet. All those elections were for two-year governor terms, but in the aftermath of the banking crisis, the General Assembly, prodded by the business community, moved to four-year terms. Cianci was back again, this time in his second reign as mayor, riding the crest of the Providence Renaissance. But the Democrats who were in the General Assembly didn't want Cianci bringing his pay-to-play political brand to the statehouse. It turned out some Democrats were running their own. So the Assembly shifted the new four-year governor terms to the capital city's mayoral cycle. That meant that Cianci had to give up running for mayor if he wanted to contest the governorship. He never did. By 1994, Sundland's approval ratings were imploding. Republican Congressman Ron Makely appeared to be on a path to be the state's first four-year term governor. Makely had the GOP endorsement and support from such top Republicans as John Chafee. But Makely lost the primary to Lincoln Almond, who narrowly won the statehouse over Democrat Mirth York. When Almond's two terms were up and the 2002 cycle rolled around, Democratic Attorney General Sheldon Whitehouse was the consensus choice for governor. Whitehouse lost the primary to York, who was defeated by Republican Don Cachery. As the New Year's Eve champagne toasts heralding 2010 were poured, General Treasurer Frank Caprio was the front-runner for governor. Caprio crashed after telling President Obama to shove his endorsement, and independent Link Chafee ended up with the big office on the second floor of the statehouse. And the one element all the self-appointed experts agreed on at the beginning of the 2012 election was that Providence's financial mess had ended any chance for Congressman David Cicilline's reelection. He, of course, waltzed to victory. After you sing Auld Lang Syne tonight and the talk turns to who's likely to be the next governor, all the insiders will have opinions. Gina Raimondo, you say. How about Angel Tavares? Maybe Alan Fung? Before you make a prediction, remember the words of the Bible. The race is not to the swift nor the battle to the strong, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Don't bet money on your pick, and have a happy, healthy, and peaceful 2013.